April 9th. In our reading in the Old Testament today, will be a reading from Deuteronomy chapter 33. Let me give you a brief overview. Before viewing the land, Moses viewed the future and told the tribes what lay ahead. When Jacob gave his blessing before he died, he revealed some of the sins of his sons. That's in Genesis chapter 49. But Moses did not do that during this speech. Instead, he focused primarily on the relationship of the tribes with the Lord and how each tribe, would have a distinctive character and a distinctive blessing and ministry. All the tribes were different, and they had a specific purpose. God's people are privileged to be in His hand for safekeeping and at His feet for learning and obeying. We are between His shoulders, so to speak, right there next to His heart. And He bears with us, and He holds us up with His everlasting arms. I mean, what more could we want? We're in God's hands, and we're safe forever and ever. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, there is a passing of the baton, so to speak, going on here. Moses is giving his last speech to the people of Israel, and Joshua is about to take over. Verse 25 of Deuteronomy chapter 33 is a good reminder to live a day at a time, as all creation lives. The best way to destroy today is to regret yesterday and worry about tomorrow. Rewind. The best way to destroy today is to regret yesterday and worry about tomorrow. Israel faced some difficult days ahead, but God would be with them and help them a day at a time, just as He will do with you and me. And with that, let's begin our reading today in the Old Testament. April 9th, Deuteronomy chapter 33, verses 1 through 29. This is the blessing that Moses, the man of God, gave to the people of Israel before his death. The Lord came from Mount Sinai and dawned upon us from Mount Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran and came from Meribah Kadesh with flaming fire at his right hand. Indeed, you love the people. All your holy ones are in your hands. They follow in your steps and accept your instruction. Moses charged us with the law, the special possession of the assembly of Israel. The Lord became king in Israel when the leaders of the people assembled, when the tribes of Israel gathered. Moses said this about the tribe of Reuben: Let the tribe of Reuben live and not die out, even though their tribe is small. Moses said this about the tribe of Judah: O Lord, hear the cry of Judah, and bring them again to their people. Give them strength to defend their cause and help them against their enemies. Moses said this about the tribe of Levi: O Lord, you have given the sacred lots to your faithful servants, the Levites. You put them to the test at Massah and contended with them at the waters of Meribah. The Levites obeyed your word and guarded your covenant. They were more loyal to you than to their parents, relatives, and children. Now let them teach your regulations to Jacob. Let them give your instructions to Israel. They will present incense before you and offer whole burnt offerings on the altar. Bless the Levites, O Lord, and accept all their work. Crush the loins of their enemies. Strike down their foes so they never rise again. Moses said this about the tribe of Benjamin: The people of Benjamin are loved by the Lord and live in safety beside Him. He surrounds them continuously and preserves them from every harm. Moses said this about the tribes of Joseph: May their land be blessed by the Lord with the choice gift of rain from the heavens and water from beneath the earth, with the riches that grow in the sun and the bounty produced each month, with the finest crops of the ancient mountains and the abundance from the everlasting hills, with the best gifts of the earth and its fullness, and the favor of the one who appeared in the burning bush. May these blessings rest on Joseph's head, crowning the brow of the prince among his brothers. Joseph has the strength and majesty of a young bull. His power is like the horns of a wild ox. He will gore distant nations, driving them to the ends of the earth. This is my blessing for the multitudes of Ephraim and the thousands at Manasseh. Moses said this about the tribes of Zebulun and Issachar. May the people of Zebulun prosper in their expeditions abroad. May the people of Issachar prosper at home in their tents. They summon the people to the mountain to offer proper sacrifices there. They benefit from the riches of the sea and the hidden treasures of the sand. Moses said this about the tribe of Gad. Blessed is the one who enlarges God's territory. Gad is poised there like a lion to tear off an arm or a head. The people of Gad took the best land for themselves. A leader's share was assigned to them. When the leaders of the people were assembled, they carried out the Lord's justice and obeyed his regulations for Israel. Moses said this about the tribe of Dan. Dan is a lion's cub, leaping out from Bashan. Moses said this about the tribe of Naphtali. Oh, Naphtali, you are rich in favor and full of the Lord's blessings. May you possess the west and the south. Moses said this about the tribe of Asher. May Asher be blessed above other sons. May he be esteemed by his brothers. May he bathe his feet in olive oil. May the bolts of your gates be of iron and bronze. May your strength match the length of your days. There is no one like the God of Israel. He rides across the heavens to help you, across the skies in majestic splendor. The eternal God is your refuge, and his everlasting arms are under you. He thrusts out the enemy before you. It is he who cries, "Destroy them!" So Israel will live in safety, prosperous Jacob in security, in a land of grain and wine, while the heavens drop down dew. How blessed you are, O Israel! Who else is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is your protecting shield and your triumphant sword. Your enemies will bow low before you, and you will trample on their backs. April 9th. Our reading today in the New Testament will be from Luke chapter 13. We'll highlight tragedy, hypocrisy, and opportunity. Let me give you a brief overview. In verses 1 through 9 in Luke 13, how easy it is to ask questions about others' tragedies and fail to learn the lessons they teach. You know, the big question is not, why do people die in tragic and seemingly meaningless ways? But the real question is, why does God keep me alive? Am I really worth it? Am I bearing fruit or just taking up space? Of course, you're worth it simply because you're made in God's image. Verses 10 through 17 will spotlight hypocrisy. The hypocrite here is the ruler of the synagogue. He was a hypocrite because he treated animals better than he treated people. And we keep doing the same thing even today in modern times. Suppose the woman that Jesus heals, did come to the synagogue on another day. Could that ruler of the synagogue have healed her then? Of course not. And, of course, we wonder how many needy people come to church meetings looking for love and help and then go away disappointed. You know, it was an old saying, yesterday is a canceled check, tomorrow is a promissory note. Today is the only cash you have, so invest it wisely. And then on to opportunity. God's kingdom is at work in this world, but many people fail to take advantage of their opportunities. Instead of entering the kingdom, some people only ask questions about it continually. Listen, salvation is not a theory to discuss. It's a miracle to experience. No wonder Jesus wept when he saw sinners passing by their opportunities to be saved. Hey, don't wait for opportunities to come. They're right in front of us today, now. They're already here. And with that, let's begin our reading in the New Testament for today. April 9th, Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 21. About this time, Jesus was informed that Pilate had murdered some people from Galilee as they were sacrificing at the temple in Jerusalem. Do you think those Galileans were worse sinners than other people from Galilee? He asked. Is that why they suffered? Not at all. And you will also perish unless you turn from your evil ways and turn to God. And what about the 18 men who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No. And I tell you again that unless you repent, you will also perish. Then Jesus used this illustration. A man planted a fig tree in his garden and came again and again to see if there was any fruit on it. But he was always disappointed. Finally, he said to his gardener, I've waited 3 years, and there hasn't been a single fig. Cut it down. It's taking up space we can use for something else. The gardener answered, Give it one more chance. Leave it another year, and I'll give it special attention and plenty of fertilizer. If we get figs next year, fine. If not, you can cut it down. One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, he saw a woman who'd been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, Woman, you are healed of your sickness. Then he touched her, and instantly she could stand straight. How she praised and thanked God! But the leader in charge of the synagogue was indignant that Jesus had healed her on the Sabbath day. There are 6 days of the week for working, he said to the crowd. Come on those days to be healed, not on the Sabbath. But the Lord replied, You hypocrite! You work on the Sabbath day. Don't you untie your ox or your donkey from their stalls on the Sabbath and lead them out for water? Wasn't it necessary for me, even on the Sabbath day, to free this dear woman from the bondage in which Satan had held her for 18 years? This shamed his enemies, and all the people rejoiced at the wonderful things he did. Then Jesus said, What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds come and find shelter among its branches. He also asked, What else is the kingdom of God like? It is like yeast used by a woman making bread. Even though she used a large amount of flour, the yeast permeated every part of the dough. Today we're still reading from Psalm 78, this very long psalm. It reviews almost the entire history of Israel, the Exodus, their wilderness journey, the conquest of Canaan, and the disciplines that God sent there as they were in Canaan. It's the nation's true history, and it's a record not only of how the people treated one another, but of how they treated God. God's answer to Israel's needs, as we have seen, is to give them a spiritual leader. What are all histories but God manifesting himself? Psalm 78, verses 65 through 72. Then the Lord rose up as though waking from sleep. Like a mighty man aroused from a drunken stupor, he routed his enemies and sent them to eternal shame. But he rejected Joseph's descendants. He did not choose the tribe of Ephraim. He chose instead the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. There he built his towering sanctuary, as solid and enduring as the earth itself. He chose a servant David, calling him from the sheep pens. He took David from tending the ewes and lambs and made him the shepherd of Jacob's descendants, God's own people, Israel. He cared for them with a true heart and led them with skillful hands. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up.